Welcome to the Better ROI from Software Development podcast, a podcast aimed at those that fund software development and those that work with them. In a series of short weekly podcasts, I, your host Mark Taylor, hope to educate and inform on why traditional management processes won't get you the best return on your investment. And along the way, I'll provide advice on how to improve that. Money. It's often thought of as a universal motivator, the one-size-fits-all solution to coaxing the best out of people. It's glittering, alluring, and to many it symbolises the pinnacle of success. For decades, companies have waved monetary bonuses in front of their employees, believing that a heavier wallet equates to improved performance. But what if this shimmering carrot we dangle, in fact, does more harm than good? Hello, and welcome back to the Better ROI from Software Development podcast. And today we're peeling back the layers of the tantalising topic of bonuses. We're delving into their appeal, the promise of heightened productivity, and those moments where they seem to be the silver bullet for management. But more critically, we're uncovering the potential pitfalls, the unseen traps that may be ensnaring our teams and torpedoing our return on investment. It's essential in our ever-evolving world of business and technology to occasionally hit the pause button, to reflect and re-evaluate. Sometimes practices and beliefs we've long held dear, ones we think are cemented in success, might just be the anchors weighing us down. Today, we'll explore whether bonuses fit that bill. So, buckle up, dear listener, it's time to challenge the norms. Question the tried and trues, and perhaps reshape the way we think about motivation in the world of software development. So let's start by winding the clock back a bit, perhaps to a simpler time. Picture a world where the equation was simple. More money equals better performance. This was, and in many circles still is, the heartbeat of modern management. The premise is enticing in its simplicity. Humans being inherently driven by self-interest will naturally perform better, push harder, and reach higher when there's a tangible monetary reward waiting for them at the finish line. And you don't have to look far to see this belief in action. In sales departments worldwide, commissions and performance bonuses are the norm. The logic? Tie a salesperson's earnings directly to their sales figures, and you'll surely bring in more clients and close more deals. Or take the world of sports. Athletes are often promised hefty bonuses for hitting certain benchmarks, scoring a certain number of goals, achieving a personal best, or leading their team to celebratory victories. The crowd roars, the trophies shine, and the bonus checks? Well, it just adds that extra golden glint. And can we forget the corporate world? Year-end bonuses, stock options, performance incentives. The landscape is dotted with these monetary motivators. CEOs being promised significant chunks of stock if they can raise the company's share price by a certain percentage. Or teams being offered a shared bonus if they complete a project ahead of schedule. The message in all of these scenarios seems clear. If you want to coax the very best out of an individual, dangle that golden carrot of a bonus in front of them. After all, who doesn't dream of that extra holiday, the new car, or simply the satisfaction of a job well done, recognised in tangible terms? But, as seductive as this belief is, one has to wonder. Is this really the full picture? Or are there unseen complexities lurking beneath the surface that might make us question this age-old wisdom? To truly grasp the complexity and potential pitfalls of the bonus-driven mindset, we don't need to venture into ancient history. We just need to rewind a mere decade and a half or so to a time that sent shockwaves through the global economy, affecting households, businesses, and nations alike. Yes, I'm referring to the tumultuous period of the 2008 financial crisis. A melting pot of factors accumulated in this crisis. But one element in particular stands out as a stark example of the dangers of the bonus culture. the role of performance bonuses in the banking sector. Bankers, especially those in the high-flying world of investment banking, had their earnings intimately tied to deals brokered, products sold, and short-term profits generated. The more they could push, the more complex financial products they could create and sell, the heftier their bonuses. And as those bonus checks grew, so did their appetite for risk. In pursuit of these bonuses, many turned a blind eye to potential long-term ramifications. They dove headfirst into subprime mortgages, ignoring debt obligations and other intricate financial products, often with little understanding or acknowledgement of the potential consequences. Now, I'm not suggesting bonuses were the sole cause of the 2008 crash, but they played a significant role in incentivizing a kind of reckless abandon, a hunger for immediate gains, which, when combined with a lack of oversight and regulatory checks, proved to be catastrophic. This should serve as a cautionary tale. When we tie specific activities too close to financial gain, we might be inadvertently nudging individuals to prioritise their personal short-term interests over the broader long-term well-being of the organisation, its customers, or in the case of the 2008 crisis, the global economy. The consequences of the 2008 financial crisis were far-reaching and painful. It's a vivid illustration of what can go awry when the siren call of bonuses drowns out reason, ethics, and foresight. And as we navigate the complex terrain of motivation in the business world, it's a lesson we do well to remember. So how does this start? The human psyche is a vast, intricate tapestry, and at its core lies the question of motivation. What truly drives us? Why do we act, create, strive, or even dream? To decode this enigma, we turn to the voice that has profoundly shaken the world of motivational science, Daniel Pink, author of the book Drive. In Drive, Pink challenges many of our age-old beliefs about what motivates us. The revelations? They're nothing short of groundbreaking. First, let's set the stage with two broad categories of motivators, external and internal, or as Pink defines them, extrinsic and intrinsic. Extrinsic motivators come from outside of the individual. Think bonuses, awards, and promotions. They're tangible, often material, rewards or penalties used to encourage certain behaviours. On the other side, we have the intrinsic motivators. These are internal desires to undertake a task for its own sake, out of interest, passion, or a sense of purpose. It's a writer penning a novel not for the advance check, but for the sheer love of storytelling. Now, that's where Pink drops the bombshell. While extrinsic rewards can be effective for tasks that are straightforward and require mechanical skill, they fall flat or even become counterproductive for tasks demanding cognitive skill and creativity. Now, studies, including those highlighted by Pink, have shown a peculiar trend. When individuals are given tasks that require conceptual, creative thinking, and are then offered monetary incentives to perform well, their performance doesn't soar, it often plummets. That's right. The promise of a bonus, rather than igniting the fires of innovation, can sometimes smother the spark. Why? Because these rewards can narrow our focus, limit the broad thinking needed for innovation and problem solving. They shift our attention from the joy of the task to the allure of the reward. Pink's Drive forces us to reconsider our assumptions. In a world that's rapidly evolving, where creativity and innovation are paramount, the traditional carrot and stick approach to motivation might be outdated, even a detriment. Perhaps it's a time to look beyond the external to tap into the powerful reservoirs of intrinsic motivators. And at the heart of Pink's groundbreaking insights in Drive are three foundational pillars, which he argues fuels our intrinsic motivation. These aren't about external rewards or the fear of penalties, but instead tap into deeper human desires and needs. These are autonomy, mastery, and purpose. Let's dive in. First, autonomy. This isn't about going rogue or being without structure. Autonomy is the deep-seated human desire to have control over one's own life and the path we take. In the context of work, it means having a say in what we do, how we do it, when we do it, and with whom. It's about trusting individuals to take ownership. Think about it. How much more engaged would you be if you felt you could steer your own ship, rather than being merely a passenger? Next, mastery. This taps into our inherent desire to get better at things. It's a reason some people might pick up a guitar and play for hours on end, or why a programmer might dive deep into code late in the night. It's not for fame, and it's not necessarily for fortune. It's for the satisfaction of honing a craft or seeing oneself progress and evolve. Mastery is about the journey of constant improvement. And finally, we have purpose. Beyond the basics of survival, humans crave meaning. We want to be part of something larger than ourselves, to feel that our efforts resonate beyond just the here and now. Purpose is that compass that gives direction to our actions, the bigger why that fuels our endeavours. Whether it's a company mission that aligns with one's personal values, or a project that promises to make a positive dent in the universe, purpose is the beacon that guides and inspires. So, in a nutshell, while bonuses and external rewards might provide a short-term boost, it's these intrinsic motivators, autonomy, mastery and purpose, that truly light the fire of long-term motivation and innovation. They connect deeply with the human spirit, pushing us not because we have to, but because we want to. So, now that we're armed with an understanding of intrinsic motivators, let's look at a domain that's particularly close to my heart, software development. One might wonder, can extrinsic motivators like bonuses really wreak havoc in this field? Let's explore. To start, there's the focus on short-term goals. When bonuses are tied to short-term objectives or milestones, there's a temptation to rush, to churn our code just to meet those markers. But here's the catch. In software development, the rush can come at a grave cost. Ignoring best practices, skipping through testing, or opting for quick fixes can lead to unstable products, opening the door to bugs, security vulnerabilities, or future scalability issues. The long-term health of software is compromised for that short-lived victory. Then there's the danger of fostering a silo mentality. When individual bonuses are on the line, collaboration can take a back seat. Instead of open knowledge sharing, team brainstorming or mutual problem solving, developers might guard their work or even become competitive. But software development is not a solitary sport. It thrives on collaboration, on diverse perspectives coming together to craft solutions. Which brings us to a loss of creativity. In a bonus-driven environment, the safest path often becomes the most appealing. Why risk an innovative solution that might fail when tried and tested, albeit dated, methods guarantee that bonus? The end result? Software solutions might be functional, but lack the cutting-edge spark, the innovation that could set them apart. Lastly, the overemphasis on quantity. When metrics like lines of code or the number of features are tied to bonuses, the scene is set for bloated software, filled with unnecessary code or redundant features. The true essence of elegant software is not in its size, but in its efficiency. Well-written code that does more with less is a hallmark of mastery. But this art can be lost when the focus shifts to mere volume. In summary, why extrinsic motivators might seem like a good idea on the surface, their unintended consequences, especially in a field as nuanced and collaborative as software development, can be counterproductive. As leaders and decision makers, it's essential to recognise these pitfalls and strive for a balance, ensuring motivation that truly serves the long-term vision and the health of our software projects. To truly understand the dynamics at play, let's paint a picture. A tale of two software development teams in the real world. one driven by bonuses tied to a specific target, the other grounded in intrinsic motivation. Let's call them Team A and Team B. Picture this, an office space with buzzing workstations, whiteboards filled with ideas, the familiar tap-tap of keyboards. Team A has a clear directive. Each member has a list of short-term targets and a juicy bonus awaiting each successful checkpoint. The atmosphere? It's charged, intense. Developers work long hours, often in isolation, racing against the clock. There's a palpable sense of urgency. Every code push, every future release, it's a rush to the finish line. Now, on the surface, it might seem like Team A is a powerhouse of productivity. Features roll out at an impressive speed. But cracks begin to show. With focus on short-term gains, the software becomes patchy, prone to glitches. Instead of collaboration, there's competition. And over time, the once buzzing workstations are increasingly seeing absenteeism, burnout, and turnover. The codebase, much like the team morale, starts to fray at the edges. Now let's pivot to Team B. Here, the atmosphere is different. The pace, while energetic, feels more sustained. Team members often huddle together, discussing, brainstorming, or even debating passionately. They're given the autonomy to choose projects that align with their interests. They take pride in mastering their craft, reinforcing their skills with each line of code. And there's a shared purpose, a collective mission that binds them. Now, Team B might not churn out features at the breakneck speed of Team A, but what they produce stands the test of time. It's more stable, there's more innovation, and it's effective software. Their code is robust, their solutions creative, and the team? They feel invested, not just in the product, but in each other. The morale is high, absenteeism rare, and the turnover minimal. They aren't just working for the next bonus. They're working for the joy of creation, the pride of craftsmanship, and a shared vision. For managers and decision makers, this tale of two teams offers valuable lessons. While extrinsic rewards might offer a short, adrenaline-fueled sprint, it's the intrinsic motivators that promises the marathon. A journey filled with innovation, stability, and a team that's not just working, but thriving together. So, given the pitfalls of relying heavily on bonuses, the question arises. How could companies foster motivation and drive performance without falling into the traps of extrinsic motivators? Let's dive into some constructive alternatives that harness the power of intrinsic motivation. Firstly, autonomy. One of the most empowering things a company can offer its employees is trust. Trust in their skills, their judgment, their approach. By giving employees greater autonomy in their roles, we allow them the creative freedom to approach challenges in a way they find more effective. It's not about a free-for-all, but about providing a framework within which they can take charge and make decisions. It's saying, we believe in you. Show us what you can do. Next up, continuous learning and mastering. The software industry is ever-evolving with new teams, languages, and methodologies popping up regularly. By investing in employees' growth and upskilling, companies send a clear message. We value you and are invested in your growth. This could be in the form of a workshop, courses, or even simple knowledge-sharing sessions. The result? A highly skilled workforce that's motivated by the joy of learning and satisfaction of mastering their craft. Then there's purpose. A paycheck might get someone through the door, but a strong purpose-driven company culture will keep them there, both engaged and inspired. This is about more than just company mission statements on the wall. It's about creating a shared vision, a collective understanding of why the work matters, of how it makes a difference in the bigger picture. When employees feel they're part of something meaningful, they're not just working for a company, they're championing a cause. And lastly, consider the power of non-monetary awards or recognition systems. Sometimes a simple, well done or great job can be more motivating than a bonus. Recognizing and celebrating achievements, be it through awards, acknowledgement in meetings, or simply a note of appreciation can have a profound effect. These gestures show employees they are seen, valued, and appreciated for their contributions. In summary, while monetary incentives have their place, they are but one tool in a manager's toolkit. By embracing these alternative strategies, companies can build a motivated, engaged, and loyal workforce. One driven not by the allure of the next bonus, but by the deeper, more sustainable flames of intrinsic motivation. As we've gone through today's episode, we've unearthed the seemingly attractive allure of monetary bonuses and the pitfalls that they can introduce. The immediate bursts of productivity, the rush to meet targets, contrast starkly with the long-term challenges: deteriorating software quality, dwindling team morale, and the myopic focus on the short term. On the other hand, the transformative power of intrinsic motivators cannot be understated. Autonomy, mastery, purpose. These are the cornerstones that drive real, sustained progress. They foster a deeper connection, a lasting commitment, and a passion that isn't extinguished once a bonus check clears. These motivators inspire innovation, nurture collaboration, and propel teams to not just meet, but exceed their potential. To all the leaders, managers, and decision makers tuning in, I encourage you to pause and reflect. If your current incentive models are heavily anchored in monetary bonuses, it might be time to rethink, to reevaluate. Consider the broader picture, the long-term health, the success of your teams and projects. Remember, the true measure of success isn't just in achieving targets, but in how those targets are achieved, in the culture fostered, and in the legacy left behind. Remember, with the right motivators, we can create environments where teams don't just work for a paycheck, but where they thrive, innovate, and passionately contribute to a shared vision. Thank you for taking the time to listen to this episode. I look forward to speaking to you again next week. This podcast has been hosted by me, Mark Taylor. It has been produced by Red Folder Consultancy Limited, a consultancy that can help you achieve better return on your software development investment. You can contact them or have a say on upcoming podcast topics at red-folder.com/podcasts. Or you can reach out to me on Twitter at redfoldermark. If you're getting value from this series, please tell a friend and help me grow my audience. Thank you.